You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, for Columbia Calling, radioing in from Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 177. And it's, well, it's an episode with me this week. We're going to talk about tourism in Colombia because we've just come out of the back end, let's say, of the ANATO Fair, the Asociación Colombiana de Agencias de Viajes, which has their annual travel fair in Corferias, in the Corferias Convention Center out in Western Bogota. Yes, those of you who attended will know it very well. There's a macro rueda, sort of like speed dating for travel agencies. And of course, downstairs on the ground floor, there's every country in the world, bar a few, of course, and every department in Colombia publicizing their wares. So it's sort of like a village fete, but for travel, if you like. Anyway, so we'll be talking about that and travel in Colombia and the travel and tourism industry. But before I launch into that, let's just say that this last week has been a great privilege for me because I've met two of my overseas listeners. So that's very exciting to me. There's Donald McDonald from Alberta, Canada, who I met in the Mono Bandido bar, but of course a great listener. He retweets everything I record. And so thank you to Donald, and I hope you enjoyed your de facto honeymoon here in Colombia. And of course, I also met Diego Moore, who is half Colombian, half English, and over here researching for hopefully great projects in the future. So very exciting to meet you guys. Very exciting to be able to have a, you know, albeit short conversation with listeners. So therefore, it makes this job worthwhile. We're getting to meet people interested and, of course, enamored with Colombia. So this episode 177, yes, we're going to be talking about the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of March 2017, which was the ANATO annual travel fair here. So we have every year it's opened up by the president. So we had this year President Santos promising to promote tourism so that it can grow to 30%, but he didn't specify if it's going to grow 30% in 2017 or 2017 onwards, 30%. But let's just say, if it grows 30% in 2017, the total figure of international visitors to Colombia should reach 5.3 million tourists. That's 5,300,000 tourists to Colombia. It's a good number for Colombia, but I mean, we have to remember it's coming from almost a deficit in 15, 20 years ago. So in the last 4 years, investment in the hotel sector has grown by 740%. So we can see it's a growing industry. I mean, 740% is a huge increase, but of course we have to think of where it began. So there's about 1.8 million Colombians. These are all figures I've taken from Portafolio. 1.8 million Colombians are working in the tourism sector. So again, it's a big generator of industry, but does it pick up the slack on the collapse of the oil markets upon which Colombia is so dependent for everything? I don't know. So basically, there's a whole load of figures that have been put out there. And President Santos was very keen to say that in Arauca, in these departments, Arauca, Caquetá, Guainía, Guaviare, Valpés, and Vichada, tourism had grown in statistically by 300%, or was it 3,000%? Probably 3,000%. But I mean, it's grown. But again, it's coming from a deficit, and you know, it's not easy to get to these places. And I somehow kind of doubt the issue around tourism growing in Arauca, given that it's a still a problematic department bordering Venezuela, and of course, and well, it's the Venezuela question. We've got the ELN blowing up the gas pipeline along there, and you've got the porous Venezuelan border. So really, how much tourism is actually reaching Arauca? So I wonder why that was uh, why that was sort of lumped together. Now, of course, what really President Santos is talking about is an increase in places like Caño Cristales. In 2010, only 1,500 people went to Caño Cristales, and that's for obvious reasons. I mean, we're talking Caño Cristales, which is the town that gives you access to Caño Cristales, is La Macarena, and La Macarena was the Casa Verde for the FARC. So, I mean, basically, it was the balneario, the swimming area for the FARC back in the day. But in 2016, this figure increased to 15,000. Now, I understand the importance of tourism reaching these far-off areas, and I understand the importance of trickle-down tourism, but of course, to somewhere as delicate and environmentally important as Caño Cristales, it needs to be cared for. And remember, Caño Cristales and the area of La Macarena is only visited between a certain amount of months a year, when the algae in the flora in the rivers are flowering and therefore blossoming into that purple and reddish color. The rest of the year, it's not. So therefore, it's a huge impact, human impact on the environment in those short few months. So anyway, we can talk about the benefits of this tourism, of course. So if we looked at 2017, the Colombian government wants 5,300,000. So let's go from 2016, the total was 5,100,000, which was an increase of 14% on the year before. Now, so the world average growth per year, let's say in 2015 for tourism was 4%. But Colombia increased by 9%, so more than double the world average. Again, this is excellent. It's exceeding expectations, but we are starting from zero when you think that Cartagena really is the key point in this. We're looking at people traveling elsewhere in Colombia. Now, when we break that down, who are the people coming to Colombia? So that in 2015, the breakdown was, no, it was 2016, the breakdown was 379,000 Americans, that's from the USA, that's 20% of all visitors. Venezuelans made up 12.3% and Brazilians 7.2%, and then it's a mixed max after that. Of course, all of these markets can be increased. Now, the Venezuela thing, that 12.3%, it just sounds a little bit suspicious. There's just a little bit much of that porous border, people coming across to buy medicines, the Pimpineros and so on and so forth. So it's a tough one for me to follow the Venezuelan tourism, because I think they come and stay, in truth. I don't think it's tourism. And bienvenidos sean, welcome. Welcome, because the situation next door is obviously dreadful. So Venezuelans can all come across, because that's how it should be between neighbors. But then the challenges for tourism here in Colombia are obviously many. But of course, the price of the dollar affects us immensely. Negative perceptions, of course, we know this, the FARC, Narcos, TV show, kidnapping, etc. These negative perceptions, which are inaccurate, of course, an inaccurate image of terrorism and violence, leads to the poor brand management of Colombia. And of course, I think this can be managed much better than how the powers that be do so. Let's not name any names, but those of you listening know exactly whom I'm talking about. And of course, is this importance of the international perception towards Colombia needs to be, I mean, it's been worked on for maybe like the last 5-6 years, but the coming years are going to be the key ones. And of course, the strategic infrastructural challenges still existing today in Colombia. Yes, things have come a great deal further forward, but they're in when we talk about these other departments that need the tourism, like Guaviare, Valpes, Vichada, when you think of Puerto Carreño, it's a two-hour flight from Bogota, and that's the best way to get there unless you're coming in from Venezuela. This is a big country with a lot of issues, so we need to think about tourism. Now, I went to the Anato Fair, and I want to talk openly about this, and I've been every year, bar from last year, which I didn't go, but so since 2007, I've gone every year, and this year was the least impressed I have been. Now, of course, all of the reports that have come out are always positive. Basically, that which is reported in the local press is more or less a complete copy, let's say, a copy, a photocopy of a press release done by the PR team there at Corferias. But it seemed to me that there were less countries, international vendors there, and it seemed to me that the stands for each Colombian department were less impressive. Now, I don't think that's me being jaded after 10 years. I think that's something I saw. Even just the entry, you noticed it was different. You noticed that there was a different ambience. And of course, we're supposed to be building on the fact that we are in a post-conflict, a post-accord, post-conflict situation with the FARC. We're talking about 6,900 combatants who've moved to 26 zones of concentration about the country. In the last week, they started the handing over of weapons. I mean, this is huge news. So I get the feeling that the people, like international buyers who are looking at Colombia, who are looking to expand here, have already been and have already arrived and have already set up their operations with local operators here. I don't think that it seems to grow anymore. This year it didn't seem to grow. And on the first day I went up and I checked out the Macro Rueda, and I was informed that there were 100 tables of meetings. 100 tables is significantly less than the last time I participated in the Macro Rueda upstairs. So let's just get that out of the way first. So let's talk about the positive nature of tourism. I mean, those of us who live here, we know what this country has to offer. It's incredible. I mean, the country's borders alone outline a geographic richness that is nearly unparalleled. I mean, it's Colombia. We've got multiple mountain ranges rising and falling across Colombia, including the massive Andes. I mean, in between, we have wetlands, forests, jungles, not to mention, and don't forget the Amazon, voluminous rivers and plains filled with fertile volcanic soil. So, I mean, everything can be done here, anything. Colombia has 3,200 kilometers of coastline, which is divided almost equally evenly between the Caribbean and the Pacific coast. And there are paradisiacal beaches, but we're not talking about beaches like Brazil. I mean, Colombia has great beaches, but Brazil, you know, is out there. But we have beaches, which of course, Sol y Playa is what sells to people who are miserable up there in the frozen north in their winter. I mean, we should be looking at the Canadian market, trying to get out of places like Fort McMurray and things like that in December, January, February, when really they just want to see some sunlight, get some vitamin D. Anyway, so you've got to think about the competition to Colombia. Which countries is Colombia up against when we think about the tourism and the offering here? So how many other Latin American nations have faced challenging histories of violence? Well, every single one of them. But of course, the most contemporary, the most up-to-date one will be, excluding Venezuela, of course, but it will be Colombia. Colombia is the one that comes to mind. So this is a big barrier. But while we are attempting to build a tourism industry, think of Costa Rica. They had a bloody civil war in 1948 and is flanked by highly publicized, violent and politicized conflicts throughout the 1980s. El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua. I mean, these were not little squabbles. These were proper scorched earth techniques that were brought down from the Escuela de las Americas and everything. I mean, these were horrible wars, but Costa Rica was able to market itself as an eco-capital of the world. And of course, the boom started around 1987, so we're not really talking that long ago. It's competitive, Costa Rica. Now, I lived there in 2000 for 6 months, and I found it a bit limited, but equally, people love it. But it's a competitive market, but one feels that their expansion, Costa Rica's expansion, has reached its peak. There are regional competitors like Colombia, which can now take advantage of this. How much more infrastructure can Costa Rica put into and within its small borders? How much more can they take? This is the big question. Now, think about Peru. I mean, in the 1980s, look at what happened with them, with the Sendero Luminoso, the Shining Path, the Tupac Amaru guerrilla groups. But they harnessed their cultural and historical indigenous roots to build a unique brand. We all think of Machu Picchu, but of course all of Peru has something to offer. You can go up into Chachapoyas, Cajamarca, you can go into the Amazon at Puerto Maldonado. It's amazing what's on offer there, and of course the culinary delicacies of Peru. So we mix and match with Peru, rainforest, beaches, fine dining, ancient ruins, but then they came through a particularly bloody period under Garcia, and then it was Fujimori, and of course the Mount Montesinos scandal and everything like that. But they have packaged themselves perfectly. So Colombia is still working to develop the right packaging that will fully display the variety of experience this country has to offer. So what are we up against again? It's a lack of infrastructure. It's corruption stifling growth. And of course, I've done that. A few episodes ago, I did the How Corrupt is Colombia episode, just me talking about, and basically it was the Odebrecht. But it's inherent in society. It's not just these big firms paying off everyone. And I did read the other day, Odebrecht even paid off the FARC during many years to make sure that their expansion into the area wasn't hindered in any way by the guerrillas. So, that's an interesting situation, but there is something cultural here. And I did get a great email from someone via Facebook saying there is something cultural about it. It's this sort of one-upmanship that can even take place at the lowest level, you know, just ripping off the gringo by 1,000 pesos. It's seen as being okay. But I don't say that as corruption. I just see that as a short-term thinking about things. But so we've got this lack of infrastructure, as I said before, the corruption which stifles growth, bureaucracy. Now, again and again, everyone talks about how it's getting easier in Colombia, but it's still not easy. It's still not easy to do things. Why do we have to hire, for example, accountants to do everything? In other countries, we can file our own tax reports and tax claims and everything. Here, you have to get an accountant. It's impossible to do so. And that's partly because of the tax reforms. This tax reform that has come in this year is bad for business. I'll say it up, and that's it. And as clearly as possible, it's bad for businesses, and in particular for small businesses. And of course, and I mentioned it previously, the dollar. So any global slowdown, anything that happens to the dollar affects us here. It's a serious situation. So back to Anato Fair. This is Anato Fair, beautiful, you know, beautiful, if small, if underwhelming at times, stands through Corferias and stuff. This year, it felt weak. And whatever numbers the press corps at the Corferias throw at you, there's a feeling that there's a lot of talk about post-conflict and the benefits that this could bring to tourism and the benefits that this could bring to the regions in Colombia and, of course, the demobilized guerrillas. But it felt like they weren't talking about it enough. It felt like there's no plan in place, that the people involved or who have been designated these roles, let's say tourism in a post-conflict Colombia, are winging it. And I hate to say it like that. It did feel very haphazard. It did feel very loose. So we need to be publicizing this and making these potential growth areas visible to the world. And so therefore, at the end of it, I just feel that there's no robust plan out there saying, okay, so post-conflict regions in which we should focus on, let's think of Urabas, that's northern Antioquia, obviously Cauca with all the problems there, Guaviare, which is just below Meta, of course, should be included, the Montes de Maria should be included for some way, there must be, and I'm not so sure that these plans for these sort of, let's say, touristic corridors through various regions. I'm not sure. I think that these are aimed at, obviously, the domestic tourism, where you get in your car and go, let's do the Pacific corridor. Well, of course, you can't because there's no infrastructure in the Pacific. But let's do the coastal corridor through Bolivar and Magdalena. Fine, this is domestic tourism. But how are we looking at international tourism. There needs to be a greater standard and a better understanding of how to bring people down. And I don't feel at this time that Colombia completely has the identity of what she wants to be or what she needs to be to promote herself as a tourist destination de rigor, or like as a first rate. Now, we know that we're not up there in absolute, luxury levels yet, but we're getting there. There are things, but things are too far apart and things are too difficult for infrastructure. You can't take people who are paying top dollar and who want everything within a few hours over rutted roads for 3-4 hours to get somewhere which then doesn't have the infrastructure that they're looking for, if they're expecting things to be like, let's say, Peru or even, you know, luxury in Vietnam or Thailand. This is the thing. We've got to look at the competition and take a plan. Let's think 10 years ahead. What is the plan? Where does Colombia want to be in 10 years' time, and start planning for it and start building that infrastructure now? Because tourism, of course, will only continue to grow, but we want to make sure that it grows in the correct fashion here in Colombia, benefiting the country, benefiting the regions, bringing infrastructure, so bringing with it healthcare, bringing with it jobs, bringing with it education, bringing with it basic necessities and human rights like running water and electricity. That's what we need in Colombia. After so many years of conflict and so much time that we've been in an isolation and an isolation policies employed by the government, this needs to be thought about. This needs to be included. And that's the truth behind tourism here. And this time, in the Anato Fair, I did not see this. I did not feel that there was the will to work for the regions. Yes, we put up a stand for Valpez. Yes, we put up a stand for Meta Arauca, but we need to work harder on this. We need to work harder in bringing people. Okay, you bring them into the Barranquilla Carnival, but then they should go out into these villages nearby. There should be people going out on the boats to the Isla Salamanca. There should be bird watching out there and so on and so forth. But I think the things were a little bit, as they say in Colombia, flojo. They weren't completely tied up correctly. Now, I can't say why. I don't know what's going on in the tourism industry and the powers that be in the politics here. But I can say that potentially part of Anato was damaged by the bird fair in Cali, because of course that's a huge market, in particular for Europeans and North Americans, and then the buyers went to the bird fair in Cali and then wouldn't need to come to the Bogota fair. That's the truth of it, because their market is there. And of course, why would you, if you're an international buyer, come to Bogota, spend the time here, and then have to turn around straight away to go to ITB in Berlin? It does seem like the dates are a bit off. Why would you do that when you can find every single vendor possible worldwide in Berlin? Why would Colombia, why would Bogota, why would Anato try and take on Berlin? That to me is unusual. But anyway, those are my thoughts. And I've talked about the positive nature of Colombian tourism and, of course, the negative nature that is confronting it. But I don't feel that there's anything in place for this post-conflict. I think that they just think, right, we're into this situation now. Let's just let it run its course. Well, it can't do that. It needs to be managed correctly. And there are 6,900 ex-combatants, not a huge number, but when they've got guns in their hands, it seems like a huge number, who will need work, who understand the countryside, who understand how it works. And so this needs to be considered. Who is out there and who is working to improve Colombian tourism in the regions? So that's me for today, talking about tourism in Colombia for episode 177. It's been a short informant style piece. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode 176, which was hosted by our two-time guest host Laura Brown, interviewing Janelle Gray, Echoes of the Struggle, an author about race and relations in the United States, but she lives here in Bogota, Colombia. Of course, I've got further people in the pipeline to interview. I will be spending some time with an NGO this week interviewing them about empowerment of youth and, of course, ex-combatants, child ex-combatants of here in Colombia. And, of course, that's very timely because the FARC has just started the let's say, handing over the next round of minors in their rank and file, minors, children in their rank and file. So that's happening as we speak now in the regions across Colombia. So that is very positive indeed. So this is me, Richard McCall, signing off for episode 177 of Colombia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed this show. I do try to do every now and then a shorter show. I know that a lot of you don't have the time to listen to podcasts week in, week out. And of course, I try and condense the information, and hopefully this is something that you enjoy. So of course, write an email. That's ColombiaCalling@gmail.com, or you can get us on Facebook or Twitter at Colombia Calling. I love to hear from you guys. And as always, as I said, a great pleasure to meet overseas listeners here in Colombia coming down and visiting our wonderful country. So that's it for me today, and farewell, and I'll be back for episode 178 next week. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.